The first lesson is recorded in the book of Exodus, beginning at chapter 19. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at the 19th verse. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you once again in the strong name of Jesus. As we've said several times, today is Father's Day, and we have the privilege of honoring our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers. And thank you to all of you who fulfill that role in our families today. As I did for Mother's Day, I'd like to read a few quotes about fathers. Sigmund Freud wrote about fathers. He said, "I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection." And then from Pope John the 23rd, he said, "It's easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father." Along that line, Philip Whitmore Snur said, "Any fool can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a daddy." True. Charles Wadsworth, he wrote, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong." Never having had a son, I'm not sure about that one. Although somebody in the first service said it's true. And then finally we have, from an unknown author, "A father carries pictures where his money used to be." I know that's true. Yes, there can be many challenges, but there's also many benefits for being a father. And certainly on Father's Day, we also think of our benevolent, loving, heavenly Father, too. And so for all you fathers out there, or those who fulfill that role as a father, I thank my Heavenly Father for you. Well, here we are, 2 weeks after the bittersweet send-off celebration for Pastor Mark to go into his retirement. He and Stephanie have moved away to North Carolina to begin the next chapter of their mission for God, because we know that you don't truly retire from working for the Lord. You just turn the page and you do other things. And so they're pursuing what God wants them to do up there. Now, Pastor wasn't our father, but he certainly was our spiritual shepherd, right? And maybe some of you might have a tendency right now to think that you're kind of like the people that Jesus had compassion on, that was remarked about in our gospel lesson today. Jesus had compassion on the crowd because they seemed like they were that they were sheep without a shepherd. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not how we should be thinking of ourselves. What did Jesus do for the people that he had compassion on? He sent out his disciples. He commissioned the 12 and sent them out to minister to the people. Well, nowadays, who are his disciples? Us. We are, you and me. And so what does that mean? It means that we're not to sit around here until a new pastor gets called and comes in and gets installed to be our new shepherd. No, we still have work to do. It's the work that we Christians have had since Jesus ascended into heaven. And that work is to proclaim the good news, the gospel of salvation through Jesus. There are many people that need our help in this world. As Jesus said in our gospel lesson today, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Who is the Lord of the harvest? Our Heavenly Father. Who are his workers? Us. We're his workers. He sends us. You know, Jesus called his disciples and sent them out to minister to the lost sheep of this world. And he sends us today to minister to the lost sheep of our world. Jesus said, "As you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Well, today he doesn't necessarily send us out to the lost sheep of Israel, although sometimes that might be appropriate. But he does call us to minister to the lost sheep of the United States or Florida or Tallahassee or Deer Lake Road. We may not be able to heal the sick, although he can do that through us if that's his will. But we can comfort the sick. We can pray for the sick that he would heal them. We may not be able to raise the dead, but we can certainly attempt to keep someone from dying spiritually so that they rise to new life through Jesus. We might not be able to cast out demons unless that's his will for us. But we can certainly point out demons so that people can avoid them and avoid the temptations that come with those demons. Jesus commissions us to go out to do the work in his kingdom. Now, as an aside here, if you notice in our reading today from Mark chapter 10, there's a title change when he sends these men out. If you look at Mark 10, verse 1, Matthew wrote, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. The very next verse, verse 2, it says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. You see that change in title? Well, a disciple is someone who is a learner, who is a student, if you will. But an apostle is someone who is sent, an ambassador, a representative. Now, these disciples would be continuing to learn. They had learned much and they would learn more. But now they were commissioned to go out in Jesus' name as his ambassadors to represent him to the lost sheep. Well, what about us? We too have been commissioned to be Jesus' representatives in this world. You remember the commission before he ascended into heaven. Matthew 28, Jesus then came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, in that authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We have Jesus always with us. What a comfort that should bring to each and every one of us as we go through this transition time together. And we have each and every one of us to help us accomplish what our Father in heaven wants us to accomplish. We're God's children. We are in God's family. He is our Father. We're in this together. And that's my point this morning. My friends, being a Christian and having Jesus with us 24/7 is a great gift, right? It's a great comfort. He knows what we go through. He is there with us in the lows and the highs of our life. And he'll be there to welcome us into the next life, the eternal life. But now he has also given us each other as well. We have each other to lean on. We have each other to pray with. We have each other to encourage one another, to laugh with one another, to share one another's burdens. It's called the body of Christ. In this transition time to the next pastor, I want us to remember three things. Number one, we still have kingdom work to do. It didn't stop when Pastor Mark took off in that truck of his. We still have kingdom work to do. God expects us and wants us to work in his kingdom always. Number two, we have His Holy Spirit living in us, directing us, guiding us into what He wants us to do, what He wants us to accomplish. And number three, we have each other here to help us. We're all in God's family together. Many times, people don't plug into that body of Christ. You know, there's many reasons. Probably the biggest reason is that people are busy pursuing their earthly agendas. Well, which is more important? Our earthly agendas or God's eternal agenda? In this time of transition, let's not put our faith on hold. You know, Pastor Mark has prepared us for his leaving. He has prepared us to work in the harvest fields outside this church. And I will do my best as your transition shepherd to help you in your faith walk, to address the needs that you have during this time. And so too do our elders. Our elders stand ready to help each and every one of us with our, you know, with those issues that come up that needs some shepherding. But God has given us each other so that we have additional support, so that we have additional reinforcement to learn more about Jesus, to focus on Him. What's His desires for our lives? What's His goal for our lives? I urge you to remember the portion of our second lesson today from Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to begin with verse 22. It said, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings." When we sincerely open our hearts to Jesus and we invite Him to come in, guess what? He comes in. And when He comes in, He gives us that full assurance. He'll give us life to the full, and He'll give us eternal life after this temporary life that we're living. He is our Redeemer. He's done the hard work. He's taken our punishment for our disobedience so that we could even have a way to eternal life with Him. But we've got to sincerely accept the repentance that He so much offers us. And then, verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." You know, God made many promises to us in Scripture. If you read Scripture, you see the promises of God. Because that's the loving Father that He is. He promises to protect us. He promises to provide for our well-being. He promises to give us hope. And He wants to keep His promises. Promises that will benefit us in this life and as we grow toward the next life. God is trustworthy. You can trust His promises. Verse 24, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Jesus told us to love one another, right? But how do we do that? We do that by following His instruction. His instruction that He's given us in the Gospels, in the Epistles, and throughout Scripture. By encouraging one another. By serving one another. By instructing one another. Honoring one another, inspiring each other to love and to do good works, being kind and compassionate to one another. That's how God wants us to live. United in Him and united as one. One body in Christ. Just as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. God is in us. We are in Him. We are one with Him. And then finally, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of judgment, will be on us before we know it. But while we're in this temporary life, we are in this together. You know, I know that when a regular pastor is not here, some people think it's a good time to maybe slack off in church attendance, you know, or maybe to check out that church down the street. I guess they think, if the regular pastor's not here, it's not so much like cheating. But I urge you, don't give in to that temptation. We are God's children. We are in God's family. We are a family. We need each other. Think of why you came here. Think about why you stay here. God is still here. He didn't leave when Pastor Mark left. Jesus is still proclaimed here. The Holy Spirit is still working in hearts here. And we should be striving to stay in tune with that Holy Spirit. I used this analogy in the first service. Think of 100 pianos all together. And they're all tuned to the same tuning fork. And when they play, they're all in unison and it's beautiful music. Unity, oneness. In order for there to be unity, there must be something that everyone is tuned to, right? Well, for Christians, that tuning instrument is the Holy Spirit. If we're unified, everyone needs to be focused on where that Holy Spirit is leading us. Everyone has to have a God perspective, not our individual agendas in this world. The God perspective. And we get that God perspective through the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing us one truth, one faith, one life. We are one with the Spirit and one with each other. Regular church attendance is a great opportunity to praise our wonderful and our loving Father in heaven and to thank Him for Jesus who came to this earth, gave up His life for us so that we could be together in one body, His body, and so that we could have the way to eternal life with Him. And God wants us also to be involved in some sort of a ministry, helping other people, using the spiritual gifts that He's given us. We need to have an outlet for the spiritual gifts that He gives us. We were born for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him and to obey Him and to carry out the Great Commission. And we know what that Great Commission says. You'll want to become what God wants you to become. And that is a servant for God to others. Just like Jesus was a servant for God in obedience to His Father. That's the way God wants us to live. We'll help each other grow spiritually. We'll help each other come closer to what Pastor Mark called the divine nature. We'll receive, you know, measurable physical and emotional benefits ourselves. And we'll have help fending off the evil one, all the temptations and the snares and the things that he puts out for us to try to get us away from here during this transition time. My friends, we are one. We are one. You know, I was trying to think of how I should end this message, and I prayed, and God said, you know, why don't you just use my word? You can't improve on perfection, right? And so what I want to do is I want to end with a quote from Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. And I pray that we'll all remember these words as we journey during this transition time. So read them with me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell rich among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. My friends, happy Father's Day. And thank you to our Heavenly Father as well. Amen.